The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Second Canto, Chapter Number 4, Text Number 10. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari. Recorded on October 4th, 2013, in Vrindavan, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vichikitsitam. Etat. Me bravitu Bhagavan yata shabdhe brahmani nishnata parasmin cha bhavan kalu Vichikitsitam etan me. Bravitu Bhagavan yata. Shabde Brahmani nishnata. Parasmin shabhavam kalu. Vichikitsitam etan me. Bravitu Bhagavan yata. Shabde Brahmani nishnata. Parasmengscha bhavan kalu.
Gurachanya, you taking turns, both of you?
Vichikitsitam.
Doubtful inquiry.
Etat. This. May of me, bravitu, just clear up, Bhagavan, powerful like the Lord, yata, as much as, shabde, sound transcendental, brahmani, Vedic literature, nishnata, fully realized, parasmin, in transcendence, cha, also, bhavan, your good self, kalu, as a matter of fact. Kindly, translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Kindly clear up all these doubtful inquiries, because you are not only vastly learned in the Vedic literatures and self-realized in transcendence, but are also a great devotee of the Lord and are therefore as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that the Supreme Absolute Truth, Govinda, the Personality of Godhead, although one without a second, is infallibly expanded by innumerable forms non-different from one another. And although he is the original person, he is still ever young with permanent youthful energy. He is very difficult to know simply by learning the transcendental science of the Vedas, but he is very easily realized by his pure devotees. The expansions of different forms of the Lord is from Krishna to Baladev to Sankarshan, from Sankarshan to Vasudev, from Vasudev to Aniruddha, from Aniruddha to Pradyumna, and then again to the second Sankarshan, and from him to the Narayan, Purusha avatars, and innumerable other forms that are compared to the constant flowing of the uncountable rays of a river, and are all one and the same. They are like lamps of equal power which kindle one lamp to another. That is the transcendental potency of the Lord. The Vedas say that he is so complete that even though the whole complete identity emanates from him, he still remains the same complete whole, Purnasya Purnam Adaya Purnam Eva Vashishyate. As such, there is no validity in a material conception of the Lord produced by the mental speculator. Thus, he remains always a mystery for the mundane scholar, even if he is vastly learned in the Vedic literatures. Vedeshu Durlubam Durlamatma Bhakto, Brahma Samhita 5:33. Therefore, the Lord is beyond this limit of conception for mundane learned scholars, philosophers, or scientists. He is easily understood for the pure devotees, because the Lord declares in the Bhagavad Gita 18:54, that after surpassing the stage of knowledge, and one is able to be engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, then only can one know the true nature of the Lord. One cannot have any clear conception of the Lord or His holy name, form, attributes, pastimes, etc., unless one is engaged in His transcendental loving service. The statement of the Bhagavad Gita that one must first of all surrender unto the Lord, being freed from all other engagements, means that one must become a pure, unconditional devotee of the Lord. Only then can one know Him by the strength of devotional service. Maharaj Parikshit admitted in the previous verses that the Lord is inconceivable even for the greatest learned scholars. Why then should he again request Sukadeva Goswami to clarify his insufficient knowledge about the Lord? The reason is clear. Not only was Sukadeva Goswami vastly learned in the Vedic literatures, but he was also a great self-realized soul and a powerful devotee of the Lord. A powerful devotee of the Lord is, by the grace of the Lord, more than the Lord Himself. Personality of Godhead Sri Ramachandra attempted to bridge the Indian Ocean to reach the island of Lanka. But Sri Hanumanji, the unalloyed devotee of the Personality of Godhead, crossed the ocean simply by jumping over it. The Lord is so merciful upon His pure devotee that He presents His beloved devotee as more powerful than Himself. The Lord expressed Himself to be unable to save Durvasa Muni, although the Muni was so powerful he could reach the Lord directly under material conditions. But Durvasa Muni was saved by Maharaj Ambarish, a devotee of the Lord. Therefore, not only is a devotee of the Lord more powerful than the Lord, but also worship of the devotee is considered more effective than direct worship of the Lord, Madhbhakta Puja Badika. Bhagavatam 11:19-21. Conclusion is therefore that a serious devotee must approach a spiritual master who not only is well versed in the Vedic literatures but is also a great devotee with factual realization of the Lord and His different energies. Without the help of such a devotee, spiritual master, one cannot make progress in the transcendental science of the Lord. And a bona fide spiritual master like Sukadeva Goswami does not speak about the Lord only in the matter of His internal potencies, but also explains how He associates with His external potencies. The Lord's pastimes and the internal potency are displayed in His activities in Vrindavan, but His external potential works are directed in His features of Karanavashai Vishnu, Garbhadakashai Vishnu, and Shiradakashai Vishnu. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti offers his good counsel to the interested Vaishnavas when he says that they should only be interested in hearing about the Lord's activities. It's a very important word, not. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti offers his good counsel to the interested Vaishnavas when he says that they should not be interested in hearing only about the Lord's activities like Rasa Lila, but must be keenly interested in His activities in His features of the Purusha avatars in connection with the Srishti Tattva creational functions, following the example of Maharaj Parikshit, the ideal devotee, and Sukadeva Goswami, the ideal spiritual master. Vandeham Shri Guru, Shri Jatapada Kamalam, Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitantam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Virijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishakam Vitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Prachaline Nivashesha Shunyavari Paschajitesha Tarine. So there are some Vaishnavas, they are called Sahajiyas. They simply want to hear about Krishna's pastimes with the gopis. But we are informed by our acharyas not to be like them. One time, this sahaja philosophy was expressed. Oh, you have to be careful what pastimes of Krishna hear. I mean, you don't want to hear about Krishna in Dwarka. That would not be good. Because then you couldn't go back to Vrindavan at the time of death. So this is a bogus philosophy. You wouldn't want to hear about Krishna at Kurukshetra. I mean, that would really be, you might take birth again and how could you go to Goloka if you're thinking about Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra? These are sahaja philosophies, you see. It's not true. Whatever your actual identity is in Krishna's pastime, that will naturally come to you if you simply become fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Krishna in Kurukshetra, Krishna in Dwarka, Krishna in Vrindavan, Krishna in manifested as the Purusha avatars for manifesting these material worlds. This is all very interesting subject matters for the Vaishnava pure devotee. He's very happy to hear about Krishna manifesting as Karnadakashai Vishnu, Shiradakashai Vishnu, Garbhadakashai Vishnu, for maintaining the material world. He has no difficulty hearing how Krishna is manifested in the form of these elements. Bhumir Rapo Navailu Kang Manobadari Vacha Ahankara iti mam iti yang me bana prakrita rashtada. He doesn't think, why are you polluting my mind with this stuff about the material energy? He doesn't think that. I only want to hear about Krishna, you know, having some intimate pastime with the gopis on Manasi Ganga. Actually, it's all relishable for the devotee. Manasi Ganga, Leela, as we heard yesterday, very, very delightful pastime, or the Kusum Sarovara pastime, a ladies only pastime. They're very relishable pastimes from our scriptures. And also it's very relishable to hear how Krishna is manifesting as the form of these material elements. How all the material elements they begin with him, they're in him, they're wrapped up into him. This is further described in the Brahma Samhita. Agnir mahi gagadamambu marudhasascha kalasta tata manasiti jagat prayani yas mad bhavanti bhavanti vishanti yamsha govinda madipurusham damaham bhajami. The three worlds are composed of the nine elements. This is a slightly different list than the one in the Bhagavad Gita. It's interesting. All the lists are true, but there's different lists. This list says three worlds are composed of the nine elements: fire, earth, ether, water, air, direction, time, soul, and mind. These are the nine elements listed by Brahmanji. So to consider Krishna, how he's manifesting, you see, all these elements, they come from him, they're in him, and they're absorbed back in him at the time of the universal cataclysm. This is relishable also for the pure devotee. He's very happy to hear Brahma. He doesn't think, well, Brahmanji just... I like the other verses of Brahma Samhita where you talk about, you know, the gopis and the flute, but these nine elements, why are you bringing these, Brahmanji? No. The devotee is very happy to hear about all of these activities because it's Krishna consciousness. Krishna in all of his aspects. To know how Krishna is doing everything, it's wonderful. It's beautiful. It's sweet. It's transcendental nectar. How Krishna is manifesting these material worlds. For what purpose? It's His mercy upon the conditioned souls to help bring them back to His transcendental pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan. So, we should be very eager to study all of these great books that Prabhupada has given us. Bhagavad Gita is very relishable. Srimad Bhagavatam, they are all relishable. Not that only the Chaitanya Charitamrita or the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. No, it's all relishable. Why is it relishable? Because it's getting us back into our actual identities. This is the fish relishes being back in the water, you see. We relish being reconnected with Krishna. The whole point of this human life is to connect with Krishna. You see. Right now we're connected with the material energy. Our minds are going here, they're going there, this way, that way, you see, trying to enjoy the material world, isn't it? Our minds are dancing like monkeys, jumping from one material thought to another like a monkey's, trying to get some pleasure, looking for that banana. Yes, sir. But actually, this is not our place. You will not find any sat. Even if you go all the way to Brahmaloka, even if you became Brahmaji by dint of great pious activities, you became Lord Brahma, the Lord of the whole material existence, you see. You would not be happy, you see. So having some position in the hospital, you see, that doesn't make you happy. Being that I can defeating all the radio competitive radio stations and being the undisputed position, that would not make you happy. Although there's nothing harm with trying for a better position in the material world for the Krishna service. But those things will not make us happy. You see. Even if we made the whole world Krishna conscious, which is the goal of the preachers, you see. The preachers want to make the whole world Krishna. Even if they made the whole world Krishna conscious, but the preacher is not Krishna conscious, he can't be happy, you see. Of course, how could they preachers make the world Krishna conscious if they're not Krishna conscious? They'd have to automatically be Krishna conscious in order to pull it off, you see. Actually, that's our goal. It's like Coca-Cola was the most established brand in the whole world. Now Apple has defeated Coca-Cola, according to some reports. It was Coca-Cola, now it's Apple. Apple Computers is the world's most established, most successful brand. But so now our mission is going to make Hare Krishna, you see, the most successful brand in the world. Bigger than Coca-Cola, bigger than Apple, you see. Actually, Prabhupada told Dhanavir Maharaj, he said, you should go to the Coca-Cola company and you should request them to change the name of their drink to Hare Krishna. Prabhupada told him to do that. I remember back in the 60s, they always changed their jingles, you know, but they had one. The popular one in the 60s was, things go better with Coca-Cola. Things go better with Coke. So just think, you know, things go better with Hare Krishna. It's pretty cool. So it was Prabhupada's transcendental vision that Coca-Cola at that time was the leading brand in the world. The point was, he wanted Hare Krishna to be the leading brand. You see, this is Coca-Cola has become the leading brand. We can understand that now Hare Krishna should become the leading brand, you see, in the world. The most recognized brand name in the world is Hare Krishna, you see. So somehow or other we have that mission. But even if we accomplish that mission, you see, if we ourselves are not absorbed in Krishna consciousness, if we're taking it as some thing for name and fame, you know, name, power, prestige, then even that wouldn't make us happy. There's only one thing that can make the living entity happy, and that is when the living entity becomes connected with Krishna. There's nothing else. There's no other way. Not by changing the political scene on the planet, by changing economics, the external things, we wanted to make them favorable for Krishna consciousness, but whether they become favorable or not favorable, that doesn't matter to the devotee, for his own Krishna consciousness. For the sake of others, yes, we want to make the external situation very, very favorable for Krishna consciousness. We want to get rid of these rascal so-called leaders and put Vaishnavas in those positions, for the people in general. But for ourselves, our Krishna consciousness doesn't depend on the political environment of this planet, doesn't depend on the economic environment of this planet, doesn't depend on what kind of position I have in the material world, whether I'm wealthy, in poverty condition, whether I'm sick, whether I'm healthy, whether I'm old or I'm young. My happiness does not depend on any material situation. Ahaitakiya pratiyata yayatma suprasediti. My happiness depends on one thing and one thing only, and that is pure, unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service. That I have no material motive, you see. I haven't come to a Hare Krishna movement to win friends and influence people, to have some more powerful position of enjoyment in this material world, you see. I have no material motives, you see. That's not that a part-time thing also. Sometimes people have the idea, well, the only way to be full-time is you have to move into the ashram. Then you're not really, otherwise you're not a full-time devotee, you're a part-time devotee. But that's completely bogus. Was Arjuna living in the ashram? He was a full-time devotee, wasn't he? Was he not a devotee when he was fighting the battle? Arjuna was still a devotee, whether he's in some holy place, or he's in a temple, or he's out on the battlefield fighting it out for Krishna, you see. So a devotee of the Lord, if he has no material motives, you see, his only desire is to please his spiritual master in Krishna, if that's his genuine consciousness, he can go on uninterruptedly being absorbed in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day in all circumstances. Because is there any situation where Krishna is not present? Is there any place where Krishna is not present?
No.
Even in the Muslim countries, like Malaysia, Krishna is fully present just as much as he is in Vrindavan. You know, there's a big mosque everywhere, people walking around and Muslim clothes everywhere in the government, Muslim, even though it's so oppressive, still Krishna is fully present there and one has to connect with him. Or even, like, you go to a place in America, there the distraction is all the opulence. Of course, now Krishna is gradually taking it away from them because they don't know how to use it properly. Like the Punar Musika Bhava, you know, again you become a mouse. Listen, these American people, if they don't use this wealth properly, Krishna's going to take it all away from them. They become a third world country in due course of time. If they don't use this wealth properly in Krishna's service, you see, then I take it away from you, you see. So, whatever you may have in this material world, take it as the property of Krishna and use it in the service of Krishna. Otherwise, Krishna can take it all away from you. He may be very kind and take everything away from you. Take away your position, take away your business, your income, your health. He can take away everything. If you are thinking, I deserve this, and this is for my enjoyment, Krishna can take it all away from you. He can be very kind and take everything away from you. Everything. So, no one would like to be in that position of having everything taken away. No one would like to be in that position. So therefore, use everything you have in Krishna's service. Do not use for sense gratification. Whatever you have, use it in the service of Krishna. Do not use it to serve your rascal senses. This is the key. Rishikesha, Rishikesha Sevanam. You see, this is the injunction. You must use those senses, Vishak, in the service of Rishikesha, the master of the senses. Why is he called the master of the senses? Because you are meant to use your senses in his service, not in your service. You understand? Not in your service. You are meant to use those senses in Krishna's service. Otherwise, you're a rascal, demon. If you use your senses in your service, you are a demon, rascal, number one. Therefore, use your senses in Krishna's service, you see. Sevon mukehi jivado svayam eva spadadyadaha. Use everything for Krishna. That's the key. That is Krishna consciousness. Don't be a cheater. Don't be a rascal. Don't be a scoundrel. Don't be a demon, asura. You see. Who tries to cheat. Don't do that. Use everything for Krishna. You may fool others that you're a great devotee, but Krishna can see what is the good and what the bad. He can easily see. We may become celebrated as very good devotees, but Krishna can see how much we're holding back from his service, keeping it for our own sense gratification. Krishna can see. Krishna is Sarvagya, he sees everything. So don't hold back anything, that's what we have to do. We can't hold back anything. We must give everything to Krishna. Ishavasham idam sarvam yat kinchab jagajam jagat tena chakchena bunjita magrida krishna sviddhanam. Everything animate or inanimate that is within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. So when we take up this mood, saying, okay, Krishna, my days of fighting you are over, now I surrender. Now from here on, everything is for your pleasure, you see. Whatever I have is yours. Therefore, everything must be used in your service. Please help me, my Lord, to overcome my selfish, greedy, lusty, angry, envious tendencies and engage everything for your service, you see. If we sincerely pray that way, then we are allowed into the precincts of that sweet nectar called pure devotional service. Even if it's only 1% pure and it's still 90%, 99% contaminated, that 1% is very sweet. And that will inspire you to go to 2%, and then 3%, and then 4%. So somehow or other, just try to purely serve Krishna. Whatever level you're on, you see. Kanishta, whatever level we may be on. Somehow or other, try to serve Krishna sincerely. You see, even a little bit. Because that will carry you to deeper and deeper absorption in Krishna consciousness in due course of time. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Would you like to add some points, Devi? First?
No.
Okay, any questions? How to remain in Krishna consciousness when we attend meetings in the office, when our colleagues are drinking and enjoying their senses? What are they drinking? Liquor? Tell them, do you like the taste of that liquor? Ask them, are you enjoying your vodka, whatever. What do they drink?
I don't know, but they drink.
Some alcoholic drinks. Are you enjoying the taste of the liquor? You can ask them. How are you enjoying the liquor today? You can ask them. They say, oh, it was really great. They said, did you know the taste of the liquor is Krishna? Yeah.
So why do we associate with them?
She has to for the job. It's a meeting. She has a business meeting. She has to be there.
In the meeting,
you can tell her the taste. You can tell the taste. Prabhupada said, if the drunkard thinks, this wine, very nice taste, the taste of the wine is Krishna, he becomes the greatest yogi. So you can ask them, are you enjoying your liquor today? Did you know, according to the Vedic wisdom, the taste of liquor is Krishna?
Then they start drinking more and more.
Huh?
Then if we say the taste of liquor is Krishna, then they
just let them keep. They're drinking anyway. They may make fun and go, ah, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. They may make fun. But how many times they're saying the name of Krishna? I mean, that's one thing. Prabhupada said that. If the drunkard thinks the taste of the wine is Krishna, he becomes the greatest yogi. So why not try it and see how what Prabhupada said. Just make an experiment. See what happens if you tell him the taste of a liquor is Krishna. See what happens. You see, there was one of my girl students. She had a big problem with binge eating. She would just go on these eating binges and she would eat and she would vomit. And she had this obsession. She would do that regularly. She would just go on this. She was so miserable. She would find some pleasure in eating, so she would eat, stuff the food in, so she would vomit. And she wanted to know how to get over this. I said, just offer to Krishna first and go ahead and stuff yourself. And very quickly she overcame it, you see. Now she's my initiated disciple. So, if they somehow can connect, that actually has a big impact. If they can, because they'll actually get to the point where they're enjoying the name of Krishna more than they are the liquor. And by that, they'll give up the liquor and become the greatest yogi. So somehow or other, I remember we used to go to the Westheimer Art Festival in Houston. And the devotees would be there doing Harinam, and the people would be drinking their beers. They put their arm, one arm on the devotee, have the other arm in the beer. They go dancing down the street, Hare, with their beer in the ear. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama. So let them chant Hare Krishna while they're taking their liquor. Let them remember Krishna. Of course, I don't know if you're allowed to discuss that at a business meeting. It's just business only, right?
What kind of business?
You can try it.
America is not now.
Huh?
They cannot drink and smoke in the public area.
No, drinking is allowed. And smoking may be banned, but drinking is allowed.
Smoking is banned, but still some of my bosses, they smoke. Yeah.
Mm.
They don't listen.
Other than that, you just have to be a little tolerant. I mean, you know, on the airplane, Mataji and I had to sit there on the airplane, all these people drinking liquor and having meat. You know, we're sitting on the airplane. You just got to be tolerant, you know, do your business.
Not participating,
but they're sitting around us. She's not participating either, David.
She's
not drinking the liquor.
She's not, but she's participating with them
in the discussion. That's true.
We don't participate with them.
Yeah, we don't sit. That's true. We don't sit around. We don't have to talk to them. We're sitting on little seats, you know, kind of like blocking it out. So, I would try to have fun with it if I were you, and I'd say, "How's the liquor today?" It's really good. Say, how's the liquor today? Wow, it's really good. Did you know the taste of a liquor is Krishna?
In the meeting.
I would have fun with it. Why not? I'm sure there's some light talk in the meeting. There must be some light talk in the meeting. It's not just straight business. You know, if they're drinking liquor, there's going to be some light talk. Huh?
It is not during the business, but during the break they drink.
Oh, they don't drink during the business meeting. Oh, that's another thing then. Yeah, that's another. They were drinking during the business meeting. Yeah, but if you're not there when they're drinking, then there's no sense in saying it. You're late for Bhagavatam. What happened? You just came from Delhi?
Came from Delhi.
All right. That's an excuse. Came from all the way from Delhi for Bhagavatam. Your tardiness is excused today. So, yeah, they're not actually drinking in the meeting, that doesn't make any sense to say that. If you're there while they're drinking, that's another thing, but otherwise it doesn't make any sense. You just got to be tolerant, you know. All you can do is be tolerant. You should just be more together than they are, more, you know, because they're here, are drinking, and their brains are getting splayed out with all these material desires. You should be more focused than they are in the Berk, so that, you know, you become their leader. You're the manager, aren't you, now?
Yes.
You're the manager. Okay, and these are your employees.
My seniors drink.
You have to meet with your seniors.
Yeah, but you don't have to associate with them after the meeting. You can associate and participate in the meeting, but after that you don't have to.
I go to my room honestly alone.
The thing is, you should just manifest all saintly qualities so you become more and more respected by your juniors and your seniors, so you can influence them to purchase Gitas, to come to the temple, etc. That's what you have to do. You should be very sober in your... I remember even must have been my great-grandfather, maybe great-great-grandfather. He was a world, maybe great-great-great-grandfather. He was a Captain Jones. He was a Civil War veteran, actually, in the U.S. And after the war, he had some kind of a business. And, you know, I mean, the workers, the male workers, they sit around and tell dirty jokes and things like that. It's a common thing that men do at work, you know. But as soon as Captain Jones would come, immediately they would shut up, because he had some high moral principles, and he wasn't into that kind of shop talk, garbage, gumyagata. They would immediately be quiet as soon as he came around, out of respect. So you should be very sober, very chaste, very mature, so that in your presence, they behave themselves.
Yeah, even if she remains aloof, they will inquire from her, and then you can preach.
Yeah, command their respect by your saintly qualities, and so that you can, they will take you as their leader, and you can inspire and then guide them in Krishna consciousness. Another thing is, I remember one of my workers, one of my godbrothers. He was a worker. A corporate job, some kind of a IT job, and he always put his Bhagavad Gita there on the desk. He made a devotee. One boy named Randy, he saw the Gita, he asked about it, and he became a devotee, initiated this, he became Ramiya Das. So I would definitely put a Bhagavad Gita on your desk, where every day have a Gita sitting there. So people see the Gita, the most attractive thing in the whole office. The whole office is like ugly. But there's a Bhagavad Gita, you know, Krishna's shining effulgence coming out of the Bhagavad Gita. I would put a Gita that have some extra copies in your drawer. I mean, do everything you can to influence these people. I think, so you brought sometimes your co-workers, haven't you, to the temple?
Yeah.
I mean, it was very good. We want all of our devotees to have, who aren't, you know, living in the ashram, to have responsible positions in society. Where you can actually be seen as a leading person, and people respect you, and they're not devotees, they have some honor and respect for you, and even if they don't become devotees, they think, well, if so and so is into it, it must be okay. Even if it gives them favorable thoughts about the movement, you see, it's like Gurdas is influencing someone. He influenced his employee. This is an employee of Gurdas. Now Damodar, he's become Damodar Das. He influenced by his boss. You see, Gurudas, his boss, influenced the employee.
Anybody by a boss, it's very easy.
And then also in Romania, there's a college professor there. He's the temple president, and he's also a professor of computer science in the university, a very senior professor of computer science. He's made so many of his students into devotees, many, many of them. How many? About 10? I'm not sure. He's influencing his students to become devotees. They respect him as a teacher, and then they become devotees by their associating with him. So you can influence your co-workers by your own maturity in Krishna consciousness. Because where do we find such souls as devotees there who control their senses, who are compassionate, who are blissful within their hearts because they've gotten the mercy of Krishna every day through the holy names of the Lord. Where do we see such people in the material world? They're all suffering. They may make a show of being happy, but they're all suffering. Here you are, a person experiencing genuine bliss within your heart, genuine compassion, with spiritual knowledge. You can distinguish between what's truly right and what's truly wrong. They're confused. They don't know the difference anymore. Is it okay to have abortions? Is it not okay to have abortions? They can't even decide anymore whether it's okay to kill babies or not. They're so deluded by the material energy. Any other questions? Yes?
I want to ask about the statement of Srila Prabhupada.
The what?
Srila Prabhupada said that we don't need to go to other places in Vrindavan. We need to be in the Krishna Balaram temple.
He didn't say that. He said all the holy places of Vrindavan are contained within Krishna Balaram, the four walls of the Krishna Balaram temple. He didn't say don't go to the other places. You got to be careful how you have to understand things very carefully, not take another meaning out of it. Prabhupada took the devotees out to see other places. Haven't you seen the photograph of Prabhupada? There's some photograph. You see him in some temple telling about Krishna's pastime. He personally took his devotees on Purukkama. Sometimes I get piled into the bus with a sannyasi. One funny pastime. They were going out for some parikrama. They had a taxi cab, one of those old ambassadors, which you don't see anymore. There's a few around. The old ambassador taxi cabs. So Prabhupada was there, and all these sannyasis piled in. It was like, you ever seen in the circus when they piled about 20 midgets, 20 clowns into a car? So anyway, the devotees piled in to go with Prabhupada and parikrama. And then at the last minute, Panchavita Swami came running out. He wanted to come too, so that he lay down across the laps of all the sannyasis in the back seat. Of course, in India they're used to doing that. For Westerners, it's kind of a novelty. In India, they know how to pack 25 people into a motor rickshaw. It's commonplace, and you go through the cities, feel like taking pictures of it sometimes. In the West, it's so be sort of the police would stop you. This is not legal. What are you doing? Got too many people in the car. And I put 10 people on a bicycle, you know. Maybe five. Five people on a bicycle even. The whole family be on a bicycle. So they were going out on parikrama. So there's... Prabhupada took the devotees on parikrama. It's definitely... it's there in our scriptures. You can read so many... there's scriptures where devotees were... going on parikrama also, and describing the different places of pilgrimage. Why did Lord Chaitanya establish all these places of pilgrimage? Why did the other Goswamis establish all the places so we could go on parikrama to them? But at the same time, Prabhupada said that because it's a fact that everything is right here in our own ISKCON property. Everything is here. All of Krishna's pastimes, all of his name, fame, forms, pastimes, entourage, paraphernalia, it's all happening right here. And the thing is, on the outside, there's so many, there's the sahajas, the people, there's mayavadi, there's so many other influences. And people, sometimes devotees are misled by the Radhakunda Babaji's, for example. Just like we heard a story the other day, a bunch of... young men, they went to some Radhakunda Babaji to find out what their swarup was in the spiritual world. And he said, now this is completely secret, don't tell anyone. You were such and such gopi. And he met with each one of them and told who they were. Then the trip was over, they got together and broke the secrecy. It turned out he told them all they were the same gopi. So we can see how ridiculous it is, you know. So that's one reason Prabhupada said that. He doesn't want us to be influenced by all these different, sahajas and people who are teaching bogus things. See, here we're teaching the true parampara message coming down from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada. It's not influenced by different Mayavadi or Sahaja philosophies. So that's why the stress is on everything we need is right here. And it's a fact. You can be totally satisfied just by sitting in Krishna Balaram Mandir, looking, chanting in front of Krishna Balaram. Totally satisfied. Some people think, well, we have to be Radha Sham, we couldn't be satisfied just by seeing Krishna Balaram. But actually, Prabhupada offered the arti to Krishna Balaram in this temple open. He had disciples offering to Gornitai and Radha Sham Sundar. He offered the arti to Krishna Balaram in the temple. So I'm always more attracted to Krishna Balaram. Nowadays people think, we got to go to Radha Sham, that Radha Sham Sundar, that's where it's really at. That's where the real nectar is. If you think the nectar is with Radha Sham and it's not with Krishna Balaram, then you don't understand Krishna, you don't understand Vaishnavas. The full nectar is there with Krishna Balaram and the full nectar is there with Radha Sham Sundar. Those people don't understand, what is actual pure bhakti. They get a little carried away with this, some sahaja type ideas. I remember when I gave Shyamapriya her name, and there was a huge uproar. Shyamapriya, Shyamapriya. If I'd said Krishna Das or Krishna Balaram Das, it wouldn't have been a big cheer, I don't think. Because there's an influence of sahaja philosophy here. We have to train you all not to be carried away with this idea that, Radha Sham Sundar are good and Krishna Balaram, they're kind of inferior, they're not so important. Radha Sham Sundar is where it's really, where the nectar is really at. To make these kind of distinctions is actually offensive. The full nectar is there, the full unlimited nectar is there in Gornitai, Krishna Balaram, and Radha Sham Sundar. The full unlimited nectar of Krishna Prema is equally available all the way across the altars. Not that it's some lopsided altar that all the mercy is over here on this altar and is not, it diminishes on this side of the altar. We should not be misled by some sahaja philosophy to think like that. Anything else? Okay. I am more attracted to the deities of Radha Sham Sundar and Mangalarti. That's all right. One feels that attraction, it's okay. I just remember Prabhupada offering the arti to Krishna Balaram. I'm more attracted to Krishna Balaram because I saw that where Prabhupada put his attention. You didn't see that. Of course, I only saw the picture. I wasn't here, you see. But I can see that Prabhupada gave, here in this temple, gave his focus was on Krishna Balaram. This is the Krishna Balaram Mandir. So I'm always more attracted but to Krishna Balaram person. Because that's where Prabhupada put his focus, on Krishna Balaram. If you feel that attraction, there's no difficulty. But you shouldn't think that Krishna Balaram is something less, that Gornitai is something less. That's the point. Everyone has their natural feeling. So you can go with your natural feelings, but you should have the proper philosophical understanding at the same time. Now do you think, I shouldn't get, be careful not to get attracted to Krishna Balaram because then I might become a cowherd boy instead of a gopi. I mean, this is a ridiculous idea. Your sarup is already there. Just become Krishna conscious. That's even if somebody is their sarup is Vaikuntha, a devotee of Narayan. Prabhupada said, by chanting Hare Krishna and worshiping Krishna, they will achieve Narayan. So just follow the system given by Srila Prabhupada. And whatever your identity, you don't have to worry about, I have to, I wouldn't dare want to focus on going to Thai. I might end up in Gaura Leela instead of Krishna Leela. No, this is all sahaja philosophy. Just follow the standard system, First, we worship the Panchatattva, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gora Bhakta Vrinda, and then we chant Hare Krishna. So just follow the standard system. Not that I don't want to chant Panchatattva because that's not Radha Sham Sundar. I just want to chant Radhe Sham, Radhe Sham, Rasham Sham, Radhe Radhe. You see, some people concoct these new mantras. I don't want to chant Hare Krishna. I'm going to chant Radhe Sham. I'm going to be really into my rasa. I'm going to chant Radhe Sham, Radhe Sham, Sham Sham, Radhe Radhe. That's all I want to ever chant, nothing but that. They think that they're advanced. Now I'm on a higher level than these people who chant Hare Krishna. This is Sahajism. These people can't go back to Godhead. They're in their own mind, they're concocting their own philosophy instead of following the Acharya Mar. You see, you have to follow the pathway of the Acharyas. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. We chant Ram's name also. That can be taken as Lord Ram, Lord Balaram, Lord Parasaram. Also, it can be taken as Krishna himself because he is the supreme enjoyer. So the point is, follow the pathway, follow Prabhupada's teachings. Read Prabhupada's books, follow Prabhupada's books. That's the key. Don't get sidetracked by some other ideas. Carefully study, regularly carefully study and read Prabhupada's books and follow Prabhupada's books. That's the point. Anything else? Devi, you want to add something? Anything else? Looks like our time is up. So we'll stop here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.